This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to the latest edition of Tiger Cast as we head into a big, big weekend here, mid-November. This is kind of the heart of transition time. Fall teams in NCAAs competing for Ivy titles, winter teams getting their season started, making their home debuts. There is a ton going on, both on and off campus. Two teams that we'll focus on today are either chasing an Ivy League title this weekend or trying to get into a first-place tie. We will talk to Sabrina King, the head coach of the Princeton women's volleyball team, as they face two home matches with the chance to clinch the outright league title this weekend. And we'll talk to James Gales, the senior defensive back for the football team, which is hoping to get a win at Yale and a little help and go into their final weekend also with a chance to play for an Ivy title. I will get to those in a second. First, let's take a quick look at what's going on this weekend. As I mentioned, there's a ton going on. We'll focus on a few events, but obviously go to goprincetontigers.com, see it all. The big events for Friday, obviously women's volleyball we'll talk about in a second, but two teams making their home debut, one making their season debut. We'll start with the women's basketball team. They will take on Rider at 7 p.m. on the Ivy League Digital Network. Home debut, season debut for Courtney Banghart's Tigers. This team obviously coming off the Ivy League's first ever at-large bid to the NCAAs last year. Lost obviously a ton of seniors, so it'll be really interesting to see kind of what this transitional look, especially early in the season. You'll start to see some chemistry, hopefully by the Ivy League play, but you know, a lot of questions to get answered early in the season. We'll get our first look Friday night. Also Friday night, the men's hockey team makes its home debut. They'll take on Harvard 7 p.m. at Baker Rink. You can watch that on the Ivy League Digital Network. Swimming, their home debut is this weekend. They'll swim Friday at 6 p.m. and then twice Saturday in the Big Al Open. You can catch all of those on the Ivy Digital Network. On Saturday, women's field hockey getting the Ivy League's first at-large bid there in the NCAA tournament. They'll take on Penn State. At Penn State, that's an 11:30 start on Saturday. Football is at 12:30 on Saturday. Yale, we'll talk about them in a little while. Men's hockey and women's volleyball also at home. On the road, the men's soccer team concludes their season at Yale. Women's ice hockey at Harvard and Dartmouth this weekend. Sunday, women's basketball at George Washington. And then Monday, obviously that'll be before our next podcast, the men's basketball team making its season debut. That's going to be a 10 p.m. start on ESPN2. Princeton will be at BYU. Exciting start. A lot of early buzz for this Princeton men's basketball team, which, unlike the women, return a number of key players from last season. And then Hans Brace as well. He was injured last year, missed the whole season. He's back now. So a lot to be excited about for the men. A lot of time to talk about this, but of course, this is the first year of the Ivy League tournament. Four teams for the men, four teams for the women will compete first spot at the NCAAs in March. But we have a long way to go before we get there. Now we'll get to our interviews, and we'll start with Sabrina King, the head coach of the women's volleyball team and the reigning Ivy League Volleyball Coach of the Year. That came after Princeton's incredible finish last season, where they went from 3-4 in the league to Ivy League co-champions. Now, they lost their playoff match with Harvard, did not go to the NCAAs, and that's something that they would like to fix this weekend. Princeton goes into the weekend 11-1 in Ivy play. Yale is 10-2, so a Princeton sweep this weekend against Cornell Friday and then Columbia Saturday. Then it doesn't matter what happens with Yale. Princeton is the outright champion and goes to the NCAA tournament. Cornell and Columbia both playing pretty well recently. Cornell's won four of its last six. Columbia is the only team in the league that has beaten either Princeton or Yale outside of those two teams splitting with each other. So Columbia's actually provided Princeton that one-match cushion that it has heading into this weekend. The thing about this Princeton team, they have really played well at home. Dylan Jim, they're 5-0 this year, have not dropped a set. Obviously played very well at Dylan last year when they were making that comeback in league play. It's really been an incredible season, an incredible story to watch. When you look at a team that Sabrina King really has trusted her freshmen, three freshmen, Maggie O'Connell, Devin Peterkin, and Jesse Harris, have combined to win 7 of the 10 Ivy League Player of the Week honors, Maggie O'Connell winning 4. And then obviously they've gotten huge senior leadership from Kara Mataliano and Brittany Patak, and Mataliano, the reigning Ivy League Player of the Year, and really a big favorite to win it again this year, especially if Princeton can get that Ivy League title. You know, but nothing is assured, and so for this Princeton team, getting out early in these matches will be big, because the last thing you want to do is start looking up at that scoreboard and seeing you're down 1-0, seeing you're down 2-1, and you know, that's where you can get a little tight. If they can front run, you know, and really just start putting teams away early, it's going to be an exciting weekend. It's going to be an exciting weekend regardless. This team has generated terrific crowds at Dillon Gym all season. I expect the same this weekend, especially with everything at stake. Again, Friday, 7 p.m. Cornell. Saturday, 5 p.m. Columbia. You can watch both on the Ivy Digital Network. If you're around Princeton, get to Dillon Gym. It's going to be a fun atmosphere. It's Princeton playing for the Ivy League championship. And let's talk now to their head coach, Sabrina King. Sabrina, let's start with this freshman class, because you know, you knew when Kendall Peterkin graduated that that's a lot of swings that you had to replace, and I think you probably knew you had some freshmen who could step up. But could you have even imagined the level of play you would have gotten and the number of freshmen who would make such a big impact this season?
Yeah, I had a sense. I mean, Devin Peterkin coming in, obviously the name kind of precedes her, but I knew that she was a great six rotation player, and so I knew she was a challenge for a starting spot right away. And then Maggie, I knew, was a huge talent. We just didn't know where we were going to utilize her. So she's talented enough that she's, you know, moved position this year, and you know, we knew right away that she had to be on the court. So we found a way to get her there. And Jessie has been really strong, and we knew she was a total athlete, and she's going to challenge for a starting spot. But we weren't sure, you know, we couldn't predict how well they were necessarily going to perform. But I think these three freshmen have a really strong mental state, mental game, and that's been the difference from just, you know, talent and performing at a really high level.
Maggie came in as a really highly touted middle on a team for you that returned both starters. So what did you see in her that, you know, made you think that she could succeed moving her from middle to opposite? And you know, not only has she succeeded, but, I mean, she's the four-time Ivy Rookie of the Week. She's been, at times, dominant.
Yeah. She's just really good.
The so, simple answer.
We often say, like, oh, we could put her probably in any position and she'd be good. But we could see that she could hit behind the setter really well off of one foot. You know, her best middle hit is a slide. So we said, oh, okay, well, it's kind of natural that she would be kind of a bigger block out there, and let's try it. It's a little bit unconventional to run your opposite off of one foot, but you know, she was able to kind of make that position her own, and the great thing is she's still learning a ton about that position, and so she has this room to get a lot better as well.
You know, when we talked late last season, it was hard to imagine that you could see somebody play better than Kara Mataliano played the last 3 or 4 weeks of last season, and the thought was, for me, if she could match that level this year, you would be in a really strong position. And it seems to me that she's far exceeded just matching it. She's been really, you know, and granted, you've had a lot of 3-0 wins, you know, where it hasn't been terribly close, but at times she has just carried this team. And it just seems that she really has kind of built so much on last year.
Yeah. Offensively, she's such an aggressive player. You know, she's just always swinging at the ball. If she gets blocked, she doesn't care, you know, and she has that fearlessness. And you know, her leadership skills have really, really grown over the years, and this year it's been exceptional. And you know, she's a huge energy booster on the court. She gets big kills. She kills balls that nobody should be able to kill. And defensively, she's been great this year as well. More focused, and you know, sometimes she, you just look in her eyes, and she's just so driven. So it's been really cool to see her step up this year, because in the beginning of the season, the preseason, I was a little nervous that she was, you know, not going to perform to the level of last year, whether or not that was pressure or not. But she really likes the pressure, and I think she's really taken a huge load this year.
Your team obviously had the big win streak going into Yale, and the opportunity to go on the road and possibly put the league away. Obviously, Yale came up, you know, with the 3-2 win on Friday. Were you concerned at all about, you know, how the team would bounce back, and how happy were you with the performance Saturday at Brown?
I mean, I think the Yale game showed some of our weaknesses, some weaknesses that maybe haven't been exposed so much in the first bit of the season, because, you know, we were beating teams pretty convincingly, and so we weren't vulnerable. And so it was, you know, good to see some of those things that, you know, obviously the coaches and most of the players kind of knew were kind of hiding under the surface. So we were able to, you know, address those things and know that if we want to do well in the tournament, we have to turn an eye to that. But I was very happy with their performance against Brown on Saturday. You know, it was an emotional loss on Friday. I thought we definitely could have played better, and the whole team knew that. And so we knew that we could, you know, the issue was on our side. It wasn't that we were just getting blown out of the water. We were making the errors, and we weren't converting on plays. And so we knew that we could do well against Brown if we just played our own game.
So now you enter this weekend with obviously a chance to clinch the title outright and to get back to the NCAA tournament. You play two teams in the top half of the standings in terms of Cornell and Columbia. But you play them at home, and for whatever reason, this team has really excelled at home. Do you have a sense of, A, why this team has played so well at home, and then, B, just kind of how much are you looking forward to seeing how your team kind of handles the moment this weekend against two teams that you know would love nothing more than to kind of ruin it for you?
Yeah, we have a huge advantage at home. I think the team just loves, you know, the feeling of Dillon. It's a really tight gym, and so the crowd is right there. You can hear them. They're really interactive with the space, and so our crowd definitely lifts us a lot. So yeah, we've been playing well at home. I mean, most teams play better at home anyway, but just go after it. And we have so few home games, you know, the heavy season that we ever play at home. And so they want to make everyone count. In terms of look to the tournament, you know, I think they're ready to just, to game, and that's been the difference with this team, is they very much take care of business. They come to practice every day. They look driven. Doesn't matter if they crush a team, they're coming back, they're working practice, and they want to get better every single practice. And so I think that's not going to be different this week. We're going to work really hard, and then once game starts, we're going to be prepared and ready to go.
Now we'll talk to James Gales, the senior cornerback for the football team. Tigers coming off just a terrific performance last weekend, a 28-0 shutout of a Penn team that had won its last 10 Ivy League games. Now Princeton is 6-2 in the league, 4-1 in Ivy play. Right now they stand in second place in the league, one game behind Harvard. When they take the field against Yale, they'll know where they stand. Harvard and Penn play Friday night at Franklin Field in Philadelphia. If Penn wins that game, then Princeton knows if it beats Yale and if it beats Dartmouth at the end of the season, regardless of what happens with Penn and Harvard in Week 10, they will at least clinch a share of Princeton's 11th Ivy League title in football. So Very exciting spot to be in. And you know, you look at Yale this weekend, you know, and they haven't been in that top tier. I mean, Princeton, Harvard, and Penn have really kind of separated themselves against the rest of the league. But you still need to win all of these games. And a Yale team that is playing senior day, you know, this is their, you know, one of their two big rivalries in the league. And it's a team that's been able to run the ball all season, and it's been able to score points on Princeton over the last 2 years. 44, I think, 2 years ago, 35 last season. You know, so Princeton's going to have its hands full, but defensively, this team has stepped up incredibly this year. The shutout against Penn, they haven't allowed a second-half touchdown in an Ivy game, in a game that was within 30 points all season. Now, obviously, Harvard got the touchdown in overtime, but, you know, that's a 25-yard drive. These overtimes are you know, they are what they are. They decide games, but they're not, you know, true measures of what a defense has done. And you put this defense, give this defense, you know, some room to work with, and they have succeeded time and again in the Ivy season. And James Gales has been a big part. Three straight games with interceptions. Really big one last weekend in the red zone when, you know, Penn was still kind of alive in the game. It was 21-0 in the third quarter. Penn scores on that drive. You know, that game gets tight. That interception really kind of sealed it, and then obviously they finished it with the shutout, which every Princeton defensive player really wanted, clearly, in that game. So a big call again on this defense to try to put Yale away early, let this offense kind of get rolling, and when they get leads and you let this pass rush go, you know, it's a really good Princeton defense, tough one to move against, and certainly they'd love that to be the case again on Saturday. 12:30 start at the historic Yale Bowl. Not on TV, but you can watch it on the Ivy Digital Network. You can listen on 103.3 FM. And let's hear now from James Gales. James, when I talk with Coach kind of about you this season, both, you know, early in the season and over this recent stretch, the one word he always talks about is confidence and how important it was for you to gain it in yourself. How much, you know, first year as a starter, senior year, was it hard to kind of find that confidence, and how much did it develop kind of during the season?
I feel like the more reps I got, the more confident I became. So, like, last year I started getting a lot more reps with the twos, and started to feel better, feel more confident when I was out on the field. And then it kind of, like, transferred over into this year, over the summer, putting a lot of work in the weight room, a lot of work on the field, and coming in and passing a conditioning test, and then getting a lot of reps with the first team. It really kind of, like, reassured me being able to play at a high level. And as the season went on, the more game reps I got, the more comfortable I got, the more I got adjusted to the speed, and it just flowed out of me.
You know, in basketball terms, they talk about kind of the rim being as big as the ocean. After a couple of games with interceptions, especially that pass against Penn, did you feel like, did you see that ball and be like, now that's mine?
Yeah, definitely. Like as you said, the rim being as big as the ocean is just like the ball being as big as a beach ball. I feel like I just can't drop it. As long as I get my hands on it, it's like I look at it and I see it. I read the quarterback, and if the ball's my way, then I was like, I definitely got to get it. I can't let this opportunity pass up.
This pass defense had so many issues last year and really, you know, was picked on a lot. And you get into this year and A, you've had a lot of leads, so teams have to throw. And B, nobody's been able to run on this team that you would expect a lot of teams to throw, and especially those deep balls. And they just haven't been there against you guys this year. How much of it is communication and just kind of finding a chemistry together, and what else, you know, is it scheme changes? I mean, what else could it be?
Well, ever since I came here as a freshman, Coach Tagal has always preached no big plays. Number one is stop the run, and number two, no big plays. So I guess, like, the defensive backfield, we kind of adopted that and took it on ourselves. Like, the front seven is going to stop the run. We know that. So when they have to pass, it's on us to make sure that there are no big plays. And if a run pops, we got to get it down. And if the ball's in the air, we're thinking, like, we're the receivers, it's for us. So when teams try to throw deep on us, we just stay deep, read our keys, and if the ball's in the air, we make a play on it. And if not, then we just tackle it, get it down, make sure there are no big plays.
you know, after that Harvard game, it, you know, it was such a hard-fought game in, on both sides and such a tough loss for you guys. And I felt like, you know, your season could really go two ways there. And ever since then, you know, I think it's what, 84-7 your advantage? You know, obviously the win against Penn last weekend. What does that say about your team and kind of the resolve and character in that locker room?
Yeah, we're all a bunch of fighters. We're all a bunch of scrappers. I mean, after that heartbreaking loss against Harvard, we were like, our season's not over. We can still do this thing. So we just got to attack every rep in practice, every rep in a game, and just treat it like, use that anger that we had throughout the Harvard game and just channel it into, you know, going out there and having a great game against Cornell and then having a great game against Penn. And so, especially with Penn, they have such great offensive weapons. I mean, it was really key for us to, like, bear down and lock in. And we came out, and it was just like, I've never seen our defense play that well since I've been here.
How much did you enjoy, you know, Justin Watson is a top candidate for, you know, All-Ivy and Offensive Player of the Years. How much do you enjoy that kind of matchup for you when you're going against, really, you know, arguably the best receiver in the league?
It's exciting. It's definitely exciting. Justin Watson's a great player, and I knew all week that it was going to be a great challenge for the defensive backs. And so when he came out the first play, he kind of like shook me a little bit, but I was like, all right, well, now I know what he can do. Now let's bear down and play your defense. And so throughout the game, it was kind of interesting to see like how he came out and, you know, what we responded with. And it was just an overall fun matchup for me.
I know you alluded to it in the press conference afterwards, but for anybody who didn't hear it, you know, you came close to the shutout against Brown. You only gave up the one touchdown against Cornell. How special was it when Rohan came up with that ball and you knew you had the shutout?
It was absolutely amazing. I've never felt so much pride in getting a shutout as we did against Penn. They were driving on us. I was kind of scared that they might score after them picking up so many yards. And then the quarterback fumbles a snap, and he looked like he picked it up, but then next thing I know, I see Rohan dive on it, and I just knew then and there, like, it was our ball. There was no question. It was definitely going to be a shutout. And literally just the amount of butterflies, the amount of feelings that I had within me, it was unbelievable.
Saturday, your last road game, you know, as a Princeton Tiger, and a big game, kind of regardless of what happens Friday night with Penn and Harvard, a really important game for you guys against a Yale team that record-wise certainly, you know, isn't where they expect it to be, but offensively has proven that they can run the ball and has put up pretty big point totals on you guys the last couple of years. You know, what are you expecting out of them? You know, their senior day, their final home game, they'll be fired up.
Yeah, they'll definitely be fired up. We expect them to come out hard, come out tough. They're definitely going to try to run the ball, and that's going to be on our front seven to stop the run. Linebackers got to come downhill. Defensive line got to get great push, and then it's on us when the ball's in the air to make a play. So I definitely expect it with them, with it being their senior day and the whole Yale-Princeton rivalry, I definitely expect them to come out firing on all cylinders.
How special is it for you? You know, your first year as a starter and your last year as a Princeton player to play meaningful November football games?
Oh, it's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I treat every game like it's my last, seeing as how we only played 40 in our career. But to be going into the last two games of the season knowing that we can do something special, it's literally the best feeling in the world. It makes practice that much more intense. It enhances our focus that much more. And so we're out there having great practice. Like, our scout team's giving great looks, and we're out there executing the defense well. So it's like, I'm super excited for this Saturdays.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.